They said he escaped. He said he was let out. The truth, it's darker than either version. When a New Orleans inmate named Antoine Massey vanishes from jail, a female journalist follows the case and uncovers forged court records, deleted surveillance, and a conspiracy of silence stretching from the cell block to the bench. This isn't just true crime. It's the unraveling of a system designed to erase people like him. Welcome to True Crime Unveiled, the Antoine Massey escape and dark corruption. Because sometimes the most dangerous prison is the one built by power. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The toilet, the wall, and the ghost. They told us it was just another jailbreak. May 16th, 2025. A Friday. Hot. Still. Deadly quiet in the city's gut. The first alert hit my phone at 5:07 a.m. 10 inmates had escaped from the Orleans Parish Justice Center. 10. In what officials were already calling a structural breach. At first glance, it sounded like bad plumbing. A collapsed wall near the east wing toilets. Old jail. Broken infrastructure. They slipped out undetected, the news anchors said. Slipped. Like this was a neighborhood prank, not a full-blown breach of a maximum security facility holding accused murderers. I was halfway through a stale cup of coffee when a name hit the wire. Antoine Massey. That was the moment I knew this story wasn't going to follow protocol. Because Antoine wasn't just another face in the system. He had a history. And not just on paper. His arrest had gone viral in 2023. Rough footage of police slamming him into the pavement outside his grandmother's home after a domestic dispute. But what made it catch fire wasn't the force, it was Antoine's scream. You're arresting me for something she lied about. It haunted people. It haunted me. Since then, the charge had stuck. He'd sat in that jail over 18 months awaiting trial for a case built on witness statements that had already started to erode. His court date had been pushed 4 times. The public defender's office called his detention constitutional limbo. But for the city, he was just inmate number 457233. Until that Friday morning, I drove straight to the jail. From the outside, it didn't look like a high-stakes escape scene. No helicopters. No barricades. Just a slow, methodical sweep of the perimeter. A few TV trucks. A sheriff sweating through his press statement. It appears the escapees broke through the back wall near a plumbing access. We're reviewing surveillance footage, and we have every reason to believe this was a premeditated operation. He paused. But rest assured, we'll find them. All of them. But inside the building, something smelled off. And not just sewage. A junior guard leaned toward me after the presser and said, under his breath, they knew exactly where to go. Someone gave him the blueprints. He walked away before I could follow up. That was the first red flag. The second came in a text from my source inside the jail's tech unit. 2:34 a.m. power blip. Security feed froze for 11 minutes. Logged as routine update. But no update scheduled. A blackout. 11 minutes. In a jail that's been called a ticking time bomb by the ACLU? Something was wrong. Later that night, I found myself rewatching Antoine's last court appearance. Virtual, via Zoom, grainy quality. In it, he sat silently while the prosecutor requested a 4th delay in discovery. His eyes barely moved. But his last words before the session ended cut through me like wire. Ain't no justice here. Only shadows. Shadows. I wrote the word down twice in my notebook. The next morning, a new headline broke the case open. Escapee Massey posts from Instagram. There he was, his unmistakable face staring at the camera, neck covered in tats, lips pressed tight, the caption below. They let me out. Now they want to silence me. I zoomed in on the photo. Behind him, I saw a graffitied wall and the edge of a green dumpster. I'd seen that wall before. It was 4 blocks from the jail, behind an abandoned food mart. Why post a photo so close to the scene? Unless you're trying to say something louder than escape. The city exploded. Social media turned it into a war zone. Some called him a criminal manipulating public sympathy. Others called him a freedom fighter. But I didn't see a hashtag. I saw a man framing his escape as a message. I had to go deeper. So I retraced his steps. First the broken toilet, then the loose pipe, then the wall panel behind a plastic hand dryer, rigged with chewed gum and scraped screws. a path that could not have been carved overnight, that required inside knowledge. Blueprints. At the breach site, I noticed something that hadn't made the reports. A black smudge on the wall that looked like ash. Burnt paper, maybe. Evidence destroyed. It was then I spotted something else. A loose page crumpled behind the radiator. Water damaged but legible. Jail roster, 3 a.m. shift. But there were two names whited out. Guard IDs. Someone tried to erase their tracks. Back at the newsroom, I checked the building's internal directory. The IDs matched two guards. Both mysteriously suspended the morning after the escape. No public reason given. One had filed a complaint last year against the jail's warden, alleging reckless disregard for procedure and safety. He disappeared 6 months ago. Relocated. Stress leave. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. By Monday, two escapees had been caught. One was hiding under his cousin's house in Plaquemines. Another was arrested at a motel off Highway 90, still wearing his orange jumpsuit. Sloppy. But not Massey. He'd gone ghost. Or maybe not. Maybe, like he said, he was never supposed to be found. Because when I checked the city jail's intake records, Antoine Massey's name was gone. Digitally erased. No mugshot. No booking time. No fingerprints. No public trail. And in that moment, one word echoed inside me again. Shadows. The feed, the raid, and the woman called Celeste. I barely slept after I filed my report on the missing intake records. It wasn't just Antoine Massey's vanishing digital footprint. It was the gnawing sensation that something far bigger was hiding in plain sight. That Massey hadn't escaped a jail, but had been released into a system that needed him gone. And then the video dropped. It was 2:14 a.m. I was reviewing footage from the prison's east corridor when a notification lit up my phone. Antoine Massey just went live. My heart slammed into my chest. I opened it, expecting a looped video, maybe a decoy clip. But there he was. Antoine. On camera. Unedited. Unfiltered. Alive. And not hiding. The room behind him was dim, lit only by a flickering lamp. His voice was calm. Direct. Intense. They say I broke out of jail. But what they not telling y'all is, I didn't break out. I was let out. The whole damn gate opened by itself. I ain't touched nothing. Just walked. He held up a document, blurred but partially readable. Case dismissal pending rear view, 2023 CR 1145. This right here, he said, is the truth. This ain't no escape. This is set up. I was supposed to disappear. I was supposed to get handled on the outside. But now y'all watching. He leaned in closer to the camera, his eyes locked into mine. Or maybe I just wanted to believe that. Ask why my name got deleted. Ask why the guards went quiet. Ask who signs the damn release papers when ain't no paper trail. Then the feed cut. Not paused. Not ended. Cut. I rewatched it 5 times before I backed up the file and posted a redacted transcript to our newsroom's secure cloud. My editor called it reckless journalism. I called it evidence. By 6 a.m., the video had gone viral. Hashtag justice for Antoine started trending. But that same morning, the city responded, not with answers, but with force. U.S. Marshals and NOPD raided a property in the Fairgrounds neighborhood. It was the same area with the green dumpster from the Instagram photo. They broke down the door just before dawn. Inside, they found a tripod, a shattered phone, and a burner SIM card lodged between floorboards. No Antoine. But that wasn't the story. The story was the woman screaming at the police. He ain't a fugitive. He's a witness. A witness. I got her name from a neighbor. Celeste Jennings. The name rang a bell. I dug through court archives and found her. Listed as a confidential witness in a 2023 internal affairs investigation at the jail. That file had been sealed. Quietly. Without notice. 3 hours later, I got a call. No caller ID. You looking for Celeste? A woman's voice asked. Yes. Then stop looking for Antoine. He's the symptom. Not the disease. The line clicked off. I sat in my car for over an hour, replaying the voice. I'd heard it before. I was sure. Not from TV, not from a press conference. But in court, 3 years ago, during a federal hearing about inmate mistreatment and corruption. She had testified under a pseudonym. But that voice, that conviction, I never forgot it. Celeste wasn't just protecting Antoine. She was protecting a story. One the city had buried beneath mountains of silence. I checked property records. the house raided that morning wasn't hers. It belonged to a shell company registered under a man named William E. Boone. Guess where else Boone's name appeared? The list of private subcontractors tied to the jail's third-party security upgrade contract, the very one that handled door control and surveillance systems. Antoine Massey had gone from inmate to rogue witness. Celeste had gone from silence to signal flare. And I was no longer reporting the news. I was inside it. I booked a room at a motel under an alias. My phone had already pinged 4 unknown cell towers in 24 hours. Someone was watching. That night, a package appeared at my door. No return address. Inside was a flash drive and a note. "Play this when you're ready to believe everything you thought you knew was a lie." I inserted the drive into my backup laptop, eyes darting across the dim room like a hunted animal. The file was titled Security Feed 2:34m.mp4. And what I saw was the jail cell door opening on its own. No guard. No override key. Just a green flash on the panel, and Massey walking out. Calm. Unsuspecting. Like it was routine. But two things froze me in place. First, the camera angle. It wasn't from a jail camera. It was from a hidden one. Someone was documenting the escape from within. Second, the timestamp wasn't May 16th. It was May 9th. He had been let out a full week before the escape was reported. The whistleblower, the timestamp, and the truth Celeste carried. I stared at the footage on the flash drive for almost 10 minutes before I moved. My hands were shaking. Not from fear, but fury. Antoine Massey didn't escape on May 16th. He was let out on May 9th. Which meant for an entire week, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office let the public believe he was behind bars. Let the court system operate under that illusion. Let me report it like truth. They lied. And now I had proof. But that raised an even more dangerous question. Who was behind the camera? The footage came from a hidden angle, slightly elevated, maybe behind a ventilation panel. That wasn't city installed. That was covert. Private. I needed to know who had access to place a camera inside a jail cell. The flash drive metadata gave me one lead. The footage had been exported through a private server linked to an old domain, orionsecuresystems.net. I'd heard of Orion. Back in 2021, the city contracted them to digitize key security upgrades after Hurricane Ida damaged the jail's backup systems. Motion sensors, gate triggers, AI movement prediction software. Millions in public funding, and almost no oversight. Orion was supposed to prevent escape, not document them. I found a name, Miles Cray, former engineer for Orion. According to state records, he quit in March 2024 after a whistleblower complaint filed under seal. No lawsuit, no press coverage. But on his LinkedIn, under current location, it read, "Unlisted, working off-grid." I dug through my old contact list and found someone I hadn't spoken to since the Kenner Mall surveillance scandal. A freelance encryption consultant named V, who used to ghostwrite code reviews for law enforcement agencies. I sent her the footage in one line. "Who had the keys to this kingdom?" She responded 14 minutes later. Only one admin had clearance to install back-end cameras without notifying OPSO or Orion's HQ. It was Cray. "Your guy's a ghost, but I think I can find his signal." 2 hours later, I was on the road to Morgan City. That's where V traced his last known router ping. A fishing cabin at the edge of the Atchafalaya Basin. It took 3 tries before Cray answered the door. He looked nothing like the clean-cut security contractor I remembered from his ID badge. He was gaunt, beard down to his chest, eyes red with paranoia. His hands trembled on a shotgun, but he lowered it when I said, "You installed the camera, didn't you?" He didn't deny it. He let me in, reluctantly. The air smelled of mildew and fear. Stacks of external drives filled the table. A map of the jail was pinned to the wall with red ink crossing through the eastern corridor. He didn't speak for a long time. Then finally, I thought I could expose them quietly. Upload the logs, submit the footage, let it make its way to court. But the system doesn't punish itself. You think they didn't know what I was watching? They let me watch. Then they tried to erase me. I asked who they were. "You already know. The contractor. The warden. The judge who signed off on the holding orders. The one who stalled Massey's case 4 times." He handed me a drive and said, "That's every access log, override command, and footage clip they tried to delete. Everything from April 20th through May 10th. I asked him why he didn't go to the press. He stared out the window and muttered, because the press only listens when there's blood on the floor. I left with the drive and a lead. One name kept showing up in the override logs, Deputy Ward Travis Leak. He was the officer on duty during the blackout, and the override code used to open Antoine's cell was traced back to his credentials. But the city had never questioned him. No statement, no discipline. He was quietly promoted a week after the escape. That night, I drove back toward the city, heart pounding. I'd barely pulled into my parking garage when my burner phone rang. Unknown number. I answered. It was Celeste. Her voice was low, measured. You found Cray. Good. Now maybe you'll understand what Antoine was trying to expose. We don't just have a broken system. We have one that punishes those who try to fix it. I asked her to meet. She agreed. One condition: no cameras. No recorders. Just pen and paper. We met at an old library on Elysian Fields. One that barely had power. She sat across from me in a booth, hoodie up, sunglasses on. But her presence filled the space. She didn't waste time. Antoine was working with me. He'd been documenting everything. Abuses, delayed hearings, forged affidavits. The system was trying to make him disappear quietly. Erase him before trial. That's why they opened the gate. Not to free him. To lose him. I asked why he stayed close to the jail if he knew they were trying to kill him. Her jaw clenched. Because he wanted the world to see him. Alive. Every post, every video, those weren't stunts. They were signals. Proof of life. Then she pulled out a notebook. Inside, names, dates, initials. A list of at least 7 other inmates who'd been released under suspicious circumstances. 5 of them were dead. Antoine's name was circled in red. He's not just a fugitive, she said. He's the only one left. That was when I heard it. Tires screeching outside. Radios crackling. Heavy boots hitting concrete. Celeste went pale. You didn't tell anyone, right? I hadn't. But someone knew. The front door shattered open. The raid, the judge, and the shadow network. I dropped my notebook the second I heard the first boot slam against the library floor. Celeste was already up, hoodie down, eyes scanning the emergency exit. She didn't panic, she calculated. That's when I realized. This wasn't her first time running. You need to disappear for 24 hours, she whispered. Use the USB in your glove compartment. Everything you need to know about Judge Armand is on it. Judge Leonard Armand. The same judge who postponed Antoine Massey's trial 4 times. The same judge who signed dozens of non-reviewable holds for inmates who never made it to court. A siren wailed outside. Another crash. They weren't here to question us. They were here to erase us. Celeste vanished through the stacks, disappearing between rows of forgotten encyclopedias and flickering light bulbs. I ducked behind a fallen bookcase as a man in black tactical gear stepped in. No badge, no insignia, no words. He wasn't law enforcement. He was contracted. I watched him scan the room silently, hand on a holstered weapon, eyes trained for movement. I didn't breathe. I didn't blink. I waited until he passed. And then I ran. Back door. Rear alley. I didn't look back. I made it to my car, a beat-up blue Civic, and drove north for 20 miles before I finally pulled over, heart still slamming against my ribs. Then I opened the glove box. Inside was a small white USB drive and a note. If I don't make it, you finish this. I plugged it into my offline laptop at a roadside diner, ordered nothing, and locked the restroom door behind me. The files were encrypted. Of course they were. But Cray had given me a decryption key. Once I opened them, I found a folder labeled Judiciary Level 2. There were documents, audio recordings, and a series of scanned receipts, all tying Judge Armand to a property development scheme that funneled inmates into extended pretrial holds, in exchange for kickbacks from a private holding company that leased jail space back to the city. Each non-reviewable hold equaled dollars. Massey's hold alone was worth $38,000 over 14 months. He wasn't a threat to public safety. He was revenue. There were audio files, too. The most chilling was from January of this year. A phone conversation between Armand and someone listed only as TL. Armand. Massey's getting loud again. TL. Then it's time to quiet him down. Same method. Armand. Soft exit. No paper trail. I don't care if he walks out or wheels out. A pause. TL. I'll trigger the gate. You just clear the logs. They were planning his disappearance. Not his freedom, his termination. My phone buzzed. It was a message from an encrypted app Celeste had installed on my backup burner. he's going to post again. Don't miss it. I opened Instagram Live just in time. Antoine appeared in a candlelit room. His eyes were red, exhausted, but his voice, clearer than ever. They've been hunting me since the day they opened that gate. But I ain't running no more. Judge Armand, Warden Lewis, Deputy Leek. You can hide behind your titles, but I got receipts now. He held up a manila folder marked with the city's seal. You tried to bury me, but I'm still breathing. You made me a criminal, so now I'm giving the world a trial you can't silence. Then he said something I didn't expect. Celeste, if you don't make it, I'll finish what we started. The feed froze, and for a full minute, nothing happened. Then the screen went black, replaced with one phrase, typed in blood-red font. The list drops tomorrow. Noon. The list. I didn't know what was on it, but I knew what it meant. Everything was about to go public. The judges. The jail. The contractor. The silent hands behind the curtain. And me. I was now the last reporter still on the inside. Because less than an hour later, the newsroom I worked for suspended me. Indefinite leave pending investigation. Someone had gotten to them. Someone wanted me silent. But they made a mistake. They let me live. The list, the leak, and the fall of the mask. They suspended me at 8:43 a.m. The email came with sterile language. Until we can verify the credibility of your sources and your recent conduct around an active fugitive case, we must place you on administrative leave. Translation, we're scared. You've become a liability. I sat in my parked car in front of the newsroom's downtown office, watching the building breathe. I'd spent nearly a decade behind those doors, filing stories, exposing fraud, asking the questions no one else would touch. But today, I wasn't just outside. I was the story they were avoiding. But none of that mattered. Not today. Because at 12 p.m., the list dropped. Antoine Massey's Instagram, over 2.1 million followers now, uploaded a PDF. The file was titled, Redacted, a list they never wanted you to see. I downloaded it before it could be pulled. 72 names. Judges. Deputies. Attorneys. Jail administrators. 3 private security executives. 2 state prosecutors. 1 sitting U.S. District Court clerk. Beside each name, a dollar amount. Some as small as $6,000. Others into 6 figures. Labeled incentives or deferred settlements. It was a pay-to-hold racket. Each inmate represented a financial cycle, a human currency. Held without trial. Held without bail. Some until they vanished entirely. Antoine hadn't just been a victim. He'd been a commodity. The final page of the file stopped me cold. It was a scanned email chain. Judge Leonard Armand to Warden Lewis. Subject. Unresolved detainees. Extended profit. Massey has become a visibility issue. We cannot risk trial. Quiet resolution needed by end of month. Leak will coordinate the gate override again. Clean logs afterward. That wasn't negligence. That was conspiracy. I thought it couldn't get any worse. Then I got the voicemail. It was from a private number. The voice distorted but unmistakably male. If you publish another word, we bury you just like the rest. Massey's time is running out. So is yours. The system always wins. Don't forget that. I sent the audio to my encrypted cloud. I wasn't backing down. But I also wasn't stupid. I went to the only person who had access to judicial corruption investigations before the Massey case broke. Former Assistant District Attorney Frances Ibarra. She resigned in 2022. Cited ethical differences. Went silent. Moved to a remote parish north of Baton Rouge. Some said she'd had a breakdown. Others said she was paid to vanish. But I found her. She opened the door slowly, face worn, hair grayer than I remembered. She didn't look surprised to see me. She looked scared. You're too late, she said. They already killed the grand jury. I didn't understand. We had a sealed grand jury in 2023. Against the warden. Armand. 3 of the names Massey leaked. We had a whistleblower, a clerk. She testified under protection. Then she disappeared. And so did the transcripts. I asked if any copies survived. She hesitated, then went to the back of her cabin. When she returned, she was holding a small black lockbox. Inside, a thumb drive and a yellowed printed copy marked unofficial transcript, do not file. It was raw, unedited, but damning. In it, the whistleblower, listed only as W1, described systemic fraud in Orleans Parish booking. Dozens of fabricated signatures on hold orders. redacted inmate medical records, early release of inmates who paid bribes, and mysterious exits of those who didn't. She named Antoine Massey twice. He had filed a formal complaint against jail staff weeks before his scheduled release. Instead of responding, the warden reclassified his status and placed him on a security-sensitive extended hold. That was the same status applied to five other inmates. All five were dead. I asked Francis what happened to the grand jury. They were shut down. Budget reasons, they said. The judge overseeing the inquiry retired the next day, moved to a private island off Belize. My stomach turned. Back in the car, I tried calling Celeste. No answer. I texted Antoine using a burner app she had set up. One word. List. He replied 5 minutes later. They know. I don't have much time. Meet me where it started. I knew what that meant. The alley behind the fried chicken joint near St. Rock. The one in the original Instagram photo. Where this entire story first cracked open. I drove fast. Too fast. When I arrived, he was already there. Hoodie up, watching me from a shadow. He looked thinner. Eyes wild with exhaustion. But alive. They tried to kill me. Twice. That judge. That system. They bury people like me. But now they gotta bury the truth too. I handed him the thumb drive. They erased your trial. But not your story. He nodded. Just once. Then he stepped forward and said something I'll never forget. You ever wonder why they call it justice? Because it sounds prettier than revenge. And then, a shot rang out. The bullet, the blackout, and the burning city. The shot shattered the silence like a bomb. I dropped to the ground instinctively, heart pounding, eyes darting between the alley walls. Antoine was still standing, frozen, but his shoulder jerked back violently as a second round tore through the night air. He collapsed. I crawled toward him, knees scraping asphalt, hands slick with blood I couldn't process fast enough. He was conscious, but barely, breathing shallow. The bullet had caught his shoulder high, thank God. But the pain on his face was pure, raw agony. Stay with me, I whispered. Just stay with me, Massey. He nodded once, teeth gritted. Sirens in the distance. But not fast enough. A black SUV peeled off into the night at the edge of the alley. No plates, no markings, no hesitation. Professional. Efficient. Cold. Another message. This wasn't about ending Antoine. It was about reminding him, reminding me, who controlled the board. But they'd failed. He was alive. And I still had the drive. By the time the paramedics arrived, I'd already stashed the evidence back in my glove compartment. Two plainclothes officers tried to question me on site. But I told them what I knew they'd already been briefed to ignore. He was unarmed. He was meeting me. He said someone tried to kill him before. And you just proved him right. They said nothing. Just exchanged a look and walked away. Antoine was taken to University Medical Center. Critical, but stable. The moment the story hit local news, the spin began. Convicted fugitive wounded during police apprehension. Sources say escapee reached for weapon. Sheriff praises quick response by federal task force. It was a coordinated disinformation campaign. There were no witnesses. No surveillance released. No press allowed near the hospital. But that night, the city erupted. Dozens of protesters gathered outside the jail by midnight. Candles lit, signs raised. Hashtag justice for Massey. Hashtag who opened the gate. Hashtag shadows of justice. The mayor issued a statement the next morning calling for patience and civility. But it rang hollow. People weren't angry just because Antoine had been shot. They were angry because for the first time they saw it. The manipulation. The cover-ups. The erasure. They saw the system not as broken, but weaponized. Meanwhile, I was in hiding, bouncing between borrowed apartments and gas station Wi-Fi, trying to finish what we'd started. Because Antoine had left me one final breadcrumb before the bullets flew. A note. Crumpled, torn, and blood-stained, but still legible. They're hiding it on Site 7. Ask V. Site 7. It wasn't a jail. It wasn't a courthouse. It was something I'd only heard in passing during a security audit years ago. A private data center used by Orion Secure Systems to store backup server logs. Never disclosed publicly. Never mentioned in contracts. V, my old encryption contact, had already been monitoring Orion's cloud network for anomalies. I messaged her on our secure thread. Need to access Site 7. Urgent. Confidential. She replied one word. Dangerous. But she sent me a location pin anyway. A warehouse in Mid-City, camouflaged as a refrigeration company. motion sensors, 2 security guards. Armed. I had no legal warrant, no backup, just a journalist badge and a story no one wanted told. So I called in the only person left I could trust, Frances Ibarra, the former ADA. She didn't hesitate. "If Site 7 is real," she said, "it'll have everything. Time logs, surveillance overrides, deleted files, everything the courts buried." That night, we drove together. 2 women carrying the weight of a system's secrets in the trunk of a car. At 3:06 a.m., we slipped through a delivery gate using a spoofed clearance badge V generated from an old Orion template. Inside, rows of humming servers blinked like silent sentinels. In Rack 9, Drive 3, behind a locked cabinet labeled Operational Archive 2022 to 2025, we found it. The final copy of the server log. It took hours to copy, and all that time, I swore I felt eyes watching. But no one came. By sunrise, we were gone. Back in hiding. But armed now with undeniable proof. Massey's cell opened remotely. The override came from a user code assigned to Deputy Travis Leak. The command was scheduled 6 days before the escape was ever reported. Multiple system logs had been deleted and falsified, but here they were, in their original timestamps. And buried inside a folder marked Restricted/Judge Ops? A video, grainy but clear enough. Judge Armand, inside his chambers, handing over a sealed envelope to a man later identified as Orion's regional director, labeled Project, Final Silence. Money. Silence. A handshake. I finally understood. Antoine Massey was never meant to go to trial. He was meant to vanish. But now, the city had seen too much, and the system could no longer erase him quietly, because someone had shouted from the shadows, "I'm still breathing." Resurrection, retaliation, and the city on fire. The hospital listed him as John Doe, even after the bullet, even after the live stream, even after the riots. I had to bribe an orderly to sneak into Antoine Massey's hospital room. The nurse didn't speak, just nodded at the hallway camera and mouthed, 3 minutes. He lay there like a man in the eye of a storm. His shoulder was wrapped tight, for in one arm, lips dry and cracked, chest rising slow but steady. But when I whispered his name, his eyelids twitched. "Antoine, it's me." He opened one eye, winced, then rasped. "Did you get it?" I nodded, pulled the flash drive from my coat. He smiled. "Barely. Then they already lost." By noon, the city had turned upside down. Hundreds gathered outside University Medical Center, chanting his name. A line of police held the perimeter while drone footage of the protests flooded TikTok and X. Celebrities posted the PDF. Journalists, real ones, started asking the questions I'd been screaming for weeks. The system scrambled. Judge Armand issued a public statement declaring the leaked documents digitally fabricated. The city attorney's office announced an immediate review of the jailbreak investigation, but offered no timeline, no press access, no cooperation with outside media. And then, like clockwork, the counterattack began. My name leaked to the press. Not as a whistleblower, but as a co-conspirator. A story hit NOLA Times at 2:33 p.m. Suspended journalist accused of aiding fugitive Antoine Massey. FBI investigating. It wasn't just spin. It was strategy. Discredit the witness. Distract the public. Destroy the proof. I couldn't go home. Couldn't go to the newsroom. Every familiar space had become a trap. So I did the only thing left. I went public. I gave everything, every file, every log, every clip, to 4 independent media outlets. One in New York. One in Chicago. One in London. One in Nairobi. And I posted the final surveillance video, the May 9th jailbreak footage, uncut, to a burner YouTube account under the title Antoine Massey, The Truth They Tried to Delete. Within 4 hours, it had over 6 million views. The comments were relentless. They tried to kill him twice. This is what modern slavery looks like. How many other Masseys are out there? By midnight, the White House issued a statement. The Department of Justice confirmed a federal investigation into procedural irregularities and possible civil rights violations in the Orleans Parish jail system. But Antoine, he was gone, vanished from the hospital just after sunset. No one saw him leave. No footage. No badge logs. No ambulance transfer. Nothing. I knew what it meant. They were coming for him again. Or he left first. 2 days later, I got a package. No return address. Just a white envelope, with a single note inside. You don't bury the truth. You plant it. AM. There was a flash drive inside. One last piece of evidence. A recorded deposition. Antoine, seated in front of a plain wall, holding the original court documents that proved the forged hold order. His final statement, voice shaking but strong. If you're watching this, I may already be gone. But the system that made me vanish is still here. So don't look for me. Look for the people who let this happen. He paused. Then make sure they never do it again. That night, the protests turned into a movement. Marches exploded in Baton Rouge, then Houston, then New York. Graffiti across city walls now bore Antoine's face with the words, "I was let out." And me? I stayed silent. Watching. Writing. Remembering. Because in this city, in this country, truth doesn't set you free. It puts a target on your back. But it also lights fires. And Antoine Massey's name had become a spark the system couldn't extinguish. Not anymore. The subpoena, the secret room, and the return of the ghost. They delivered the subpoena in person. Two men in dark suits. No introduction. Just a knock, a folded envelope, and a glance that told me they knew everything about me. Where I slept, where I ate, and where I kept my notebooks. Inside. You are hereby summoned to testify before a closed federal grand jury in the matter of United States versus Armand Lewis Leak et al. Date. 3 days from now. Location sealed. No media. No counsel. No lies. I wasn't just a witness anymore. I was the bridge between the system and its reckoning. They flew me in a black-windowed van. No GPS. No phones. I don't know where the hearing took place. A basement courtroom? An abandoned federal office? All I know is it smelled like cold steel and bleach, and that the faces inside were tired, serious, and scared of what they were about to hear. I sat across from six jurors and two federal prosecutors, and for four straight hours I spoke. About the jail. About the logs. About the videos. About Antoine Massey. They asked about Celeste. I said I hadn't seen her since the library raid. Which was true. They asked if I knew where Massey had gone after the hospital. I lied. Because I did know. 1 week before the subpoena, I received a burner phone. It lit up with a single message. Warehouse. 11th and Claiborne. 2 a.m. Don't bring anyone. I thought it was a trap. But when I arrived, he was there, seated on a crate, hood up, shoulder freshly stitched, looking at me like the ghost he'd become. Antoine Massey. Alive. Off-grid. And not hiding, planning. They think I'm dead. Let them, he said. You're on the run. No, he corrected. I'm on the clock. He unzipped a duffel bag. Inside, hard drives. Court affidavits. Sworn statements from other inmates. A list of witnesses ready to testify. Even one from a former guard, who claimed he was paid $10,000 to look the other way during the gate override. Antoine was building something. A case, I asked. A comeback, he said. But not for me. For all of us. He told me about the network. A group of activists, lawyers, coders, and former inmates building an independent platform to archive abuses and demand open records from jails across the country. His face was bruised. His voice hoarse. But his vision, clearer than ever. They made me disappear. So now I'm making the truth permanent. I asked why he trusted me. He looked me dead in the eyes. Because you never asked for fame. Just answers. Then he handed me a flash drive. Take this to the jury. Don't blink. Don't bargain. Just burn the house down. So I did. Inside the sealed courtroom, I gave them everything, ending with the drive. It contained internal Orion emails proving Judge Armand authorized illegal detainments in exchange for development contracts tied to prison labor kickbacks. I watched the jurors go pale. One whispered, "Oh my God." Another asked to step outside. When I left that room, I knew nothing would ever be the same. And yet, that night, all major networks ran a different headline. Judge Armand resigns amid health concerns. No mention of Massey. No mention of Orion. No mention of the list. That's when I understood. Even when you win, they still rewrite the ending. Unless you write it louder. 2 weeks later, in a hidden corner of the internet, a video appeared. Posted anonymously. No tags. No credit. But I recognized the voice. They tried to bury me. Again and again. But I was never the root of the problem. Just the proof. And now the whole world sees it. This is for the silenced, the caged, the erased. I am Antoine Massey, and I'm not gone. Then the screen went black, and the words flashed in red. Next, Harris County. A new target, a new fight, and a man the system can no longer touch. I tell people I was just a reporter, but the truth, I became part of a movement that started in a broken toilet stall, slipped through a steel grate, and exploded onto the world stage. A movement built on rage, on truth, and on a single man's refusal to disappear. Antoine Massey is not a fugitive. He's a reckoning.